Good Shabbos, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. Well, it took a while to get here because we're in a leap year, but now Purim is right around the corner. Once again, we're hosting our annual Purim party with real cheese pizza and hamantaschen and a performance by our amazing Makor band, Moments of Wrong. The party will begin immediately following our Megillah reading on Wednesday night. Everyone is welcome to attend. This Shabbat, Shabbat Zachor, is one of the four special Shabbatot preceding Pesach. All the other special Shabbatot, Shekalim, Parah, and Achodesh, their titles are descriptive. They all tell you what the extra portion is about. However, Zachor is an anomaly. It tells us only that we should remember. But remember what? If you go by its content, perhaps the title should be Shabbat or Pashat Amalek. But that doesn't sound appropriate, because we're commanded to blot out their memory. Paradoxically though, the Gemara actually uses the name of Amalek in Masechet Bava Batra, Daf Mem Vav Amud Bet, in a section about lending laws. The Gemara presents Amalek's name as a mnemonic aid in the form of an acronym. Ayin stands for a case about an Arev, a guarantor, Mem for a case about a Malva, a lender, Lamed about a case for a Lova, the borrower, and Kuf for a Kablan, an unconditional guarantor. So the Gemara says Amalek Simon. Amalek is the memory aid to remember those four cases. Why in the world would the Gemara use Amalek's name this way after the Torah tells us to erase their memory? Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Yaivitz, brings an ingenious answer based on some very odd cantillation, punctuation, or trop in the Seret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. In the prohibitions against murder, adultery, and stealing, there is a comma, a tipcha, after the word lo, don't. It says, lo tipcha tirzach, don't, comma, commit murder. Lo tipcha tinof, don't, comma, commit adultery. Lo tipcha tignov, don't, comma, steal. The Zohar explains that this peculiar punctuation teaches that these commandments have exceptions. When a defendant has been sentenced to capital punishment, we are permitted to murder the person. In the case of Yibam, when a surviving brother marries his sister-in-law, the prohibition against illicit relationships does not apply. And in monetary court, even if the evidence is not clear-cut, the court can decide the defendant has no right to retain a certain amount of money and allow the plaintiff to seize it, which could be construed as stealing. How does the Yavitz connect all this with Amalek? Well, remarkably, we find the same odd punctuation in the Torah's commandment about Amalek. It says, lo tibcha tishkach, don't, comma, forget to wipe out their memory. So by analogy with Masechet Bava Basra, Amalek Simon, this means that sometimes you are allowed to forget this mitzvah. If your objective is to remember Torah, you're permitted to remember Amalek. I think this is a brilliant answer, but I also believe there is an even deeper reason behind this exception to the command to wipe out Amalek's memory. In the story of Purim, when Esther is afraid to approach King Ahasuerus, Mordechai's response is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Torah. We'll find salvation elsewhere, Esther, while you and your father's house will be lost. In other words, we don't need you to save the Jews. They will be saved one way or another. The only question is whether you will play a part in the inevitable event. Malik held the cynical view that the world is random, life is a lottery, as in the word Purim, which must mean that God doesn't care, and so life has no meaning. As evidenced by the horrible massacre yesterday in New Zealand committed by evil terrorists, murdering innocents in a house of worship. But Esther taught us that God allows some randomness in order to give us the opportunity to make a difference. We may not have power over what happens ultimately, but we can determine how the story will unfold. And remembering is one way to make a difference. The very act of remembering implies that something matters, which is the antithesis of what Amalek believed. In other words, the very act of remembering Amalek can be an act of defiance against his cynical worldview. And that's why you're allowed to use Amalek's name as a memory device. By doing so, you're actually negating his efforts to convince us that God doesn't care. This lesson also solves the famous paradox. How can the Torah command us to remember what Amalek did, but also blot out their memory? The undeniable answer is that memory and meaning cause Amalek's undoing. So by remembering Amalek, or granting meaningful memory to anything at all, you blot out the memory of Amalek in the way God intends. That is the only explanation of the paradox that makes any sense to me. And that's why this Shabbat is called Zachor. Because the act of remembering today means that life's random details make a difference, and such a belief is what destroys Amalek. The essence of Purim, this meaningful perspective on randomness, is Esther's gift to the Jewish people, which teaches us that it is fitting, even during life's most difficult times, to be joyful, to celebrate, and to remember. Shabbat Shalom.